Welcome to a special Friday bonus edition of Jaded Gamercast. My name is Lang. With me, as always, is Nathan. I have Scotch.
Jägerbomb.
And with us as a special guest today is a fan of the podcast, Sweetie Man Mike! Mike Sweetman!
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys.
Yeah, by all means, we're glad to have you. And I think when Nathan had originally kind of brought up doing this podcast, I thought it was very interesting because you kind of had a topic in mind that you wanted to talk about specifically, which was?
Yeah, I want to rant on Ardboys.
Yay, ranting! Ah! God, we need a good rant, and Ardboys is low-hanging fruit.
Isn't it? Hey, you know, if Jaded Gamercast is about anything, it is about rants.
It is about rants. I mean, there's no getting around that. So,
for sure.
I've never played in Ardboys. It's not my kind of tournament. I think that Nathan, in his one of his first blogs there on the site when he was talking about composition, makes a very, very good point, which is basically if you don't agree with the tournament organizer, you don't agree with the format, don't put the dollars for it. Don't support it with your wallet. And, you know, if the majority of the people out there love it and you don't feel like you have to compete or that you have to fight with the tournament organizers to make this tournament your own. I'm a firm believer in not all tournaments are for everyone. There are tournaments that are meant for you and the type of games that you like to play, and there are tournaments that are not meant for you whatsoever. We call those Lord of the Rings. But you're in a school right now, Mike, so I assume you're not drinking.
Oh,
are you sneaking in?
You assume incorrectly. Yeah,
right. I got some vitamin K here, good old Alexander Keys.
Mm. And we were totally late for meeting you, so you're probably three sheets to the wind already, which is...
I've had a couple.
We've been drinking all night. I've been drinking for about 4 or 5 hours now. Yeah, so if I get belligerent, then we know why.
Exactly. But you know what?
Good thing this is a bonus episode.
We'll have fun one way or another, I think. But you know what, Mike? As our special guest, and since this is a topic that you were kind of aiming for, I'm going to say, just get us into it. Let's hear your viewpoints on Ardboys, you know, as a whole.
Yeah,
begin.
Let's do it. So, Nathan, why do you go to tournaments? I'll start with a question.
I love playing the game. And, after years and years of working at Games Workshop, I absolutely cannot abide playing beginners anymore. You know, it's like I've done my time in the trenches and there's just no fun in teaching the game anymore. So I like to go to tournaments because I like to have good fun games. And, the best games for me are ones that really challenge me as a general.
Right. So not games against right. Mike.
Oh, hey, look, just because he has to cheat to beat me. I mean,
cheat to win or he's super timid. I mean, it's one of
the other. Dude, I smashed your models. Screw cheating. I smashed
your models. He raged all over Nathan's, Nathan's models.
My Glade Guard were all over the place.
No, but I think Nathan has a really good point because we joke about amateur night and things of that nature, but you do get to a point where it's just, you know, rolling the 16-year-old kid just getting into the game or the guy who just has the starter box army. That's not what you're looking for anymore. But at the same time, you know, I mean, God, we talked about this all day today is like my bonus room was filled with all ex Games Workshop employees, minus my wife.
minus your wife.
And one current one, right?
Nice.
So, we were talking about tournaments and things of that nature, but... so that's
you
your answer.
Totally lost.
Yeah, I know. Nathan, you totally fucked that one up.
Outside of that, why do you play at tournaments?
I don't know. Like I said, I play at tournaments because I don't have the time to do the regular gaming nights. So for me, I can book a weekend, get 3, 4, 5, 6 games, depending on how many days it is.
Right.
And, cross my fingers that I don't have to play someone that's, didn't bother painting their stuff or doesn't know what to do.
Right. You're not an addict. You just like to party.
Hey.
Dude, a couple weeks ago or a couple episodes ago, you were all about like, oh, man, I just want to meet people. Like, that's why I go to tournaments, you know. What happened to that?
Were you hoping for consistency in this podcast?
Yeah. What the hell?
I know you listen to the podcast. You should know this at this point.
No, but I mean, see, for me, though, Mike, I have never gone to a tournament in the last 5 years where I have not met someone and I've not been able to have a good time and be social and all that, because that's the person I am.
Right.
And that does tie into the fact that I don't want to play a kid that's new to the hobby. You know, I like to play people that are roughly my age, something that I have a common factor with, because that's what allows me to shoot the shit with them and, you know, take them out for a drink after the game, or even, you know, during the game, if there's a close enough bar.
Clearly there's a multitude of reasons, right? Yeah, absolutely. You know, like I game in tournaments. I know you didn't ask, not that you would care, but no, I mean,
you know, Lang, why do you game in tournaments?
It is too late now, sweetie. but you know, like I game in tournaments specifically because I like the competition, right? I think that making friends and meeting people is intrinsic to the hobby. It's part of the community. And, like, I expect to do that one way or another. Like, you know, Brett and I had that game, and, like, him and I have never had a game before, but it spawned because of the podcast and because of, you know, he's working at a store that should not be named. And, you know, things of this nature.
He's good friends with John Kingsway.
Right, exactly. John Kingsway. And basically, it's just like, so for me, when I think about a tournament, I'm just like, yes, competition. I want competition. Which I think is one of those things that makes Ardboys kind of a conflicting point for some people.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think, you know, the big thing for me in
sounds like you now. You said, yeah, no, absolutely. You really listened to the podcast too long.
Oh, shit. Now I'm going to pull out the...
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Look, if I'm going to get it is going to say the safe word is champion.
The safe word is champion.
That is the first t-shirt, period.
I'll pull out the mofo in a second here.
Do it.
Yeah, no, I think meeting people is the big reason to go to tournaments, and that's why I'd suggest anybody to go to tournaments. And I think Ardboys really loses out because, you know, you're gonna lose your hobbyists. A lot of people aren't gonna go because of the no sports. You know, your beginners don't have enough models, and even your average gamer isn't gonna have they might not have a 3,000 point army, or was it? I'm not a big 40K player, but it's 2,500, right? Yeah. Which that's a lot of models.
Yeah, well, and you know, it's been said before that Ardboys is the cash cow. We don't care if it's painted, we don't care what it is, just buy it and put it together, kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mostly put it together.
No, and that is what it seems like such a blatant cash cow. And really that's my only hit on it, because really if the point of this tournament was really to say, you know, who's the best gamer, it wouldn't be at such a ludicrous points level, because really anybody can make a competitive 2,500 points army, because you many points that you
there's
can
no,
literally...
There's no choice. What choices do you have?
Well, exactly. You're just like, okay, I've got enough anti-tank, I've got enough this, I've got enough that, you know, and you take absolutely everything, you cover every single base, and you're just like, gee, I got 500 points left. What am I going to do?
Double up.
Exactly. I'm going to double up. If it was literally about who is the best gamer, because list building is a facet of generalship, you know, because let's be honest, if I could be the best general in the world, but if I take a new kid's list of everything that he owns, it's an uphill battle for me.
Right.
Every time.
Yeah, yeah. Right. And I, you know, and I've said similarly before, I like thinking that I'm a better general than I am a list builder, not to say that one is more important than the other, or not to say that one is necessarily better than the other. It just comes down to play style.
Well, exactly. You know, you need to do it. But I mean, if they really wanted to say, we're going to figure out who the best one is, they're going to play it at a very restrictive points level, because that is where you are going to separate the wheat from the chaff. You know,
1,000 points.
that's a little ludicrous.
I think,
honestly,
that's where my Necrons are competitive.
For Throne of Skulls, you know, it's 2,000 points. That is a hard-ass list to make.
Yeah.
Like, good God. Like, I'm doing up my demons for it. And, you know, at 2,000 points, I have to make choices. You know, you know my list. You know that I basically just said, I'm going to gamble the dice and hope to God no one tries to overpower me in this one aspect of the game, because I have nothing. I have no ability to counter it. But that was a choice that I made. You know, so I mean, that's the thing, is with my 2,000 point army, I know that there's holes in it because I don't have enough points for me to be able to cover every single base. So
right.
I did the best that I could. I'm taking the strongest list that I feel I can take, knowing that there is this glaring hole. Look, you know, take that, compare it to a 3,000 point Ardboys army, which, yes, I'm currently planning and building towards. I have everything and then some. You know, because there's really no competition. I can take this core, I can take this, I can add in and add in and add in, and then just say, hey, look, there is no situation my army cannot handle. Where's the skill in that?
Right. Yeah, I think 2,000 points in fantasy is that's a solid level. I mean, 2,500 right now is the. I think Skaven really benefit at 2,000 points. They can really get all the toys in still, but a lot of armies have to make a lot of tough choices at 2,000 points. I think, and it's quicker. You have 500 less points.
Well, especially in 8th edition now that you are less restricted in terms of your characters, which means that your characters can eat up that quarter of your list easy.
Yep.
And you're going to feel very, very restrictive on your characters because of that at 2,000 points. So I think that that further reinforces the things that they did in 8th edition with composition, you know? And I mean, that's what I love about 8th edition is there's kind of self-enforcing composition in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I absolutely love the way that that particularly is built into the game. But no, I think that it is fair to say, you know, kind of going back to the original question, which was, you know, why do you go to tournaments? I think you go to different tournaments for different reasons. I mean, and you rag on Ardboys as much as anybody, but I mean, you do go to Ardboys tournaments, but you know what you're expecting and you're going specifically for that one aspect of the game.
Yep.
As opposed to, you know, going to Apocalypse coming up in the next little bit or going to, you know, tournaments that you run or the tournament that we went to in GP Town, you know, like there's very different goals. Yep. When you go to those types of tournaments in terms of what you hope to get out of it in terms of fun, competition, and, you know, community.
Well, exactly. Because, I mean, like, I'm looking forward to going to Ardboys because, again, it is that sort of measuring stick. Because I really want to see, you know, how do I stack up? I want to play the best generals that, you know, in the area. And I'm going to go and I'm going to have a lot of fun with it. I went to GP Town because I was just like, I've never been there. They're local-ish.
Hey,
look, I actually worked it out on Google Maps. GP Town is 60 kilometers further away than Spokane. So
there you go.
You know, but so, I mean, you know, they're local-ish, and I'm just like, you know what? I would like to go, and I'd like to meet these people. I'd like to hang out. I'd like to see them. Because, I mean, really, there are very few people that I've met in this hobby where I'm just like, I hate this guy. What a tool.
There's one or two.
No, for sure. Of course there's one or two. But I mean, you know, it's just one of those things where I'm just like, you know, the hobby is a good glue that binds. And so I didn't go to GP Town with an ultra competitive army. I mean, I still have my 7th edition Wood Elves. So I took what my army was and I was just like, hey, look, it's all painted. This is good enough for me. Right, and I just went for fun.
And a big part of that for you as well was experimentation. I mean, you know, you had the big unit of Treekin, you wanted to paint with the Great Stag, you know, you had some different ideas in terms of what you were going to do, and you learned a lot from it, you know, in terms of how to build the list, and, you know, you feel like you came out of it with a more competitive list. So, you know, but getting back to Ardboys, you know, I
think the, like, Nathan, you're saying that Ardboys is like a measuring stick, and don't you think using Swiss pairings, right,
mm-hmm.
like, in a normal tournament, if you could, you know, if the tournament organizer said you could grudge whoever you wanted in the first match, so you could pick your opponent in the first first round, I mean, you're probably, if you're a good player, you're probably avoiding those lower end players if you can do something like that.
No,
like,
absolutely.
Don't you think, you know, if we cut back from 3,000 points, we have local annual events, I don't think Ardboys really fits in.
Hey, you know what? That's very fair. My only thing with Swiss pairings is you only really see the separation over a long enough span. Because I mean, you know, I've been to tons and tons of tournaments, you know, with or without a grudge, where it's game four before you finally have the true separation of, you know, this guy is good versus this guy was lucky or had soft draws. So I mean, if you have a 3-game tournament, Swiss pairing isn't going to do anything, you know, because you don't have a long enough runway to really separate it out and make sure that I'm only playing comparable generals.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if there's a 2-day event, absolutely. I mean, hell, even my own tournament, you know, we experimented with that whole thing where we're saying, you know, we gave players the opportunity to choose their opponent every single round. And for the most part, once people were kind of used to it and used to how we were presenting the information, they started only picking either games they knew would be fun or people that were comparable to themselves in generalship. So I think that there are ways to get around it. And I think that if there were really great annual events that were able to utilize a system like that, I really would have no need to go to Ardboys.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's a good segue to the next point I was going to bring up, which is how Ardboys sort of fucks with local annual events. I mean, mm-hmm. these tournaments, you know, GW just, they don't talk to people and, you know, when's your local tournament event? They just sort of say, okay, it's in April. It doesn't really mm-hmm. matter. And I know we've had experience with that here where an annual fantasy event is suddenly turned into a 40K event overnight, you know, within a couple months. And it's like, what the fuck?
Yeah. No, and you know what? That's a great point, because really Games Workshop, you know, with their juggernaut, you know, 2001 era online presence. Yeah, that's right. They're a decade back. Hey, look, they just discovered blogs. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, really they do nothing but promote their own event, which is Ard Boys, as well as circuit events. And I do have an event that's on the North American GT circuit. And I can say it's hard as shit to get onto it. And even then, like I said, those are the only events that they promote. Everything else basically doesn't exist in their eyes. And I think the other problem that Ard Boys does is it's a free to play. You know, all I have to do is show up to a store running a prelim, running a semi, running a final. I have to get my way to that event, and it is free to play. And they give out prizes that I can't even dream of running my event. Because if you take first place in semifinals, you get a 3,000-point army of your choice. Right, I mean, yeah. We're talking, what, $1,000 worth of product? I can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, it just, you know, so I really do think that.
Yeah, and that's what really pisses me off. I mean, you have people stepping up from the community, mm-hmm. trying to run on these annual events so that people know that, you know, in April, okay, we got a fantasy event or a 40K event, whatever it is, right? And I mean, these people are taking time out of their life, and suddenly they have competition. You know, GW comes out and they say, okay, we're having our Ard Boys in fucking April, whatever, you know, and that might end up screwing local tournaments.
You know, though, I think the only thing that I would recommend then is talk to your local store owner, talk to your local, you know, store, because Games Workshop stores themselves do not run Ard Boys qualifiers.
Right.
It's only local gaming stores that step up and choose to run it. So I know down in Cowtown, I don't think there's going to be any store running a fantasy qualifier.
Right.
Because none of the local gaming stores want to. So I think, you know, the only way that we as a community can combat this Ard Boys is if we talk to our shop owners and get them to say no.
No, well, and that's...
I think one of the things things to really focus on here is that there's always been this sort of uneasy competition between local tournament organizers and Games Workshop, because Games Workshop, they want to be active in the community, they want to be able to run events, and I mean, if you go, well, no, I'm talking about like in general, because if you go back to the good old days before we were jaded and, you know, that's
doing a podcast where you bitch about it.
Right. You know, you had the conflicts, you had the GTs, you had all these different things that Games Workshop ran on a regular basis that were these big events, and they got to the point where they just decided that this was not worth their time anymore, and it turned into an issue of kind of the community needing to step up,
mm-hmm.
and Games Workshop always just kind of like leaning in, throwing an elbow, and kind of not necessarily muscling people out, but because... You know, they're the big dog in the room. They're like the UFC. It was like anytime Affliction tried to run a pay-per-view, the UFC would put a free event on Spike.
Yeah.
Just to with their numbers, right? Now, I'm not saying that that's what Games Workshop is doing, but it is very much the same thing where it's just like, yeah, but Games Workshop is Games Workshop.
You know, but...
The problem is they do it in such a minimalist way that it not only fucks with the community, but there's so many people in the community that just really, really don't like that. They want all of the bonuses that come with it, but it's just like nobody's going to be able to, like you say, put up a 3,000 point free army at the end of a tournament without literally walking away with like a massive loss or charging through the nose.
Well, you know, and that's a good point, because I do remember when really locally the only event was the GW run conflicts or GTs. And other than that, you know, down in Cowtown, there was one other guy that ran one tournament because he'd been doing it for like two decades.
Or they were very small tournaments.
Or very, very,
very
small,
like six to ten people
basically, the entire community waited and all went to the GW run one.
Yeah.
Then on 1.5 weeks' notice, they just canceled the entire event. They're just like, oh, you know what? Absolutely nothing. We're not going to do any of them. There was this big sort of vacuum. it took our local community probably 3 or 4 years to fill that
I'd
void.
I'd say close to 4 years.
You know, and start running quality events. And finally when they were, and finally when they were starting to get traction, that's when GW was just like, oh, by the way, Ardboys, buy more shit, build it, don't bother painting, and we'll give you a prize that nobody can compete with.
Well, and even in the even in the periods of time where Games Workshop had canceled the conflicts and all of the tournaments and things that they had run, it was Games Workshop employees who were stepping up and running these tournaments to try to keep people into the community outside of their normal Games Workshop schedule. And, you know, that kind of spurred a couple of different things. But I do think that Ardboys comes on to the community scene when it comes to this kind of competing ideal between local tournament organizers and Games Workshop with, like, a cannonball that knocks everything over.
Well, and, I think it's really easy fix. I mean, why don't they just pick a certain time? They just say, hey, you know, Fantasy Ardboys is always this time. Semis are this time. And,
well, yeah, because that's crazy that it's so early this year. Because I know last year, 40K was May, June, July, and Fantasy was August, September, October.
Dollar signs, guys. Dollar signs. They can do it whenever they're in a fiscal slump.
Yeah, it's
anytime they feel like it, they're just like, hey, everybody, Ardboys.
I don't know about that.
Anytime Ardboys they change the codex and they want that codex to sell more, boom, Ardboys. Listen, it's the magic card for people who want to just buy armies, put them together, and show up at tournaments because you don't have to paint it. It doesn't necessarily build the community.
I'll guarantee there'll be crap tons of Grey Knights coming.
Right, and that's exactly it, right?
What? When's the 40K one now? August?
I don't give a fuck.
I know you. I don't play
that's
it hard.
Right.
I'm just doing.
That's
just
right. I don't give a fuck map, either.
Because I know that they're not running it in June because that's their Throne of Skulls. So they're going April, May, and July. So
Personally, I don't like Ardboys because it really does kind of it blows over the hobby aspect of this game and it turns it into Magic the Gathering. Right. It turns it into who can buy the most stuff, who can have the most tooled list. And like you say, at the points level, there's no real list building side to the game. It's just like take everything you need and double up on the stuff you feel is going to be good.
Because, yeah. And I mean, the game's not even play tested at these levels, really.
No,
right?
it never is. Like,
it's ridiculous. I don't see how this can be like the true test. This isn't what the game was meant to play at, you know?
If you start going outside of the Force organization chart, it's just like,
well
this
it's
is
still within the Force org, but that's
well,
the
you,
problem.
You
is,
can make it still within the Force org, well, but you can get outside of it. Oh, it has to
it
be?
It has to be within the Force org. No, okay, but I mean, I think the other big problem is exactly what you said, Mike. The game isn't playtested. The game isn't balanced. Because, I mean, there are some armies like Imperial Guard for 40K that 2,500 points, they don't even break a sweat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they just do it. They're just like, ah, hell, I got platoons. Not that anyone takes them, but, you know, like all of these options. Hey, if it's not a veteran with a Melta gun in a Chimera, it's not in a guard list.
Right.
And we all know that to be true.
Right.
You know, but then there are certain armies that struggle like hell to make that. Because, I mean, if you're a Tau player, you know, God bless you. But how are you going to hit 2,500 points when no unit in your army costs more than 200 points?
Right.
So you're just like, okay, I need 13 units and my force org only allows 15. So, okay, what two units don't I need?
Right.
Because everything else is full.
Yeah.
Well, I think that that's a good point, really, because when you start getting up to those really, really high caps, I feel like the game is more of a novelty than anything else. I mean, I've bitched about balance in 40K before, but, you know, I don't necessarily know how Ardboys for Fantasy is much different, although I would say that Fantasy is probably a bit more balanced at the higher levels, considering the changes in 8th.
Well, you know, even with 7th edition, I just think that the Fantasy approach to list building with minimums and no ceiling has always been, well, I guess not no ceiling, because there was always the max.
There was always the max.
Rares, but I mean, on core and things like that.
Right.
It has always lent itself to scaling up very well, because if I played 3,000 points or I played 2,000 points, my, you know, quote unquote, you know, finger quote, force org has always scaled appropriately. So, yes, I need more core and 3,000 points, but I can take more lords, one more special, one more rare, you know, and it all works out. And in percentages, it still holds true.
Well, it holds a lot stronger, too, because I think the minimums make for real proper balance between the armies.
No, see, for me, I think what I said before, I stand by. I think if we as a local community reject Ardboys and don't like it, we need to tell our local gaming stores, the store we play at all the time, not to run it. You know, don't run a qualifier. Don't do it because, you know, I know a store owner. I know he ran an Ardboys preliminary last year and refuses to ever run it again because of the sour taste it left in his mouth. But basically, you know, he puts up the space. You know, he loses that out. He is on the hook to give all the prizes out and all the product. And yeah, Games Workshop will credit his account, but that's it. Like, that's all they do for him. So it's, you know, it's not like Games Workshop is positively rewarding these game stores.
No, for sure. I mean, we've experienced the same thing. I mean, we're northwest of you guys quite a bit, and we have tournaments like in Prince George. I've seen some of the stats coming out of there for 40K. I don't travel that far.
Yeah.
For 40K, but instead of 30 guys for 40K, you're down to like 10 or 12. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's just, I don't, it's, and that's why I want to rant, is I want those tournaments to be at 30 people.
Yeah.
Because, you know, more people are having fun, more people are involved in the hobby, right. and that's what you want at the end of the day. I don't think Ardboys is, especially in the smaller cities, is viable whatsoever.
Well, I think that was my next point, really, was this idea of preliminaries adding anything to the system. I mean, honestly, okay, I get it that you're not necessarily paying for it, and I get the fact that, you know, there's big prizes and they want to make it seem like there's some sort of tiered reward for getting to this level, but the idea of, like, anybody can run a preliminary, just go to town, preliminary away, yay, yep. Preliminaries. And it's just like, oh, six people showed up and I won my preliminary. Well, that's not really a preliminary.
Yeah.
That's you and your six friends in your basement, you know, of the gaming store that your buddy owns, saying, like, hey, this is a preliminary. Like, I think that it's ridiculous to think that this has any sort of meaning whatsoever. And it just kind of goes back into this idea of just like, well, what does this really accomplish? Like, what does it really mean? You don't ever see anybody who's just like, oh, he won Ardboys. And you're just like, he must be good.
Yeah, well, I mean, there was GP Town. I forget we got a talking code here. GP Town and PG Town both ran Ardboys 40K tournaments as well as Quinnell.
Yeah.
And none of those winners actually went to Edmonton.
Yeah.
For the semis. None of them. I mean, it's just too far.
Well, and like I said, what does it mean? It obviously means nothing to the winners. They walk away from it going like, yeah, I won a tournament. Are you going to go to the semis? Are you going to try to, like, prove yourself? Why? Like, what's the point? Like, that's not why they went to the tournament. Right? Yeah. And I think that's why that whole system is just this really goofy thing. Now, really, I mean, I want to talk about not just the effect on tournament organizers, but the effect on the community. And this is something that we've talked about before. We're not going to go too far into it here, but the complete elimination of soft scores. Oh, excuse me. Your army does not have to be painted. There's no sportsmanship. There's no composition. Now, I mean, Nathan and I have said it many times. As players, we're not fans of composition. As tournament organizers, you know, it's important. We understand the benefit of it. But, you know, there's a difference between good composition and bad composition. And the whole composition argument can go on forever. One that really, really bothers me is the idea that it just doesn't have to be painted.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is the one that just, I'm sorry, it takes me out of it completely. That's where it's just a collectible card game, right?
Yeah.
I don't like playing unpainted armies unless it's like we're playing a practice game between friends in my basement or something. But I don't want to drive out someplace and play an unpainted army. That's not fun for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, yeah, you know, because that's the thing is for me, if I was going to fix Ardboys, so to speak, if I was going to fix it, I would say, you know, you need to drop the points level, you know, make it a little more skill-based, make it a little more accessible. You need to make it painted, you know, because if you want to say sportsmanship score, you know, sportsmanship won't affect the winner, it's just win-loss, that's great. There are tons of tournaments right now that do that. I mean, I linked a couple on my on my blog post that I put up. you know, you can say, okay, we have a check and balance. So if a guy, you know, it's basically a soccer yellow card, red card system. So that way you can eject assholes. you know, because if they show up just to be cheating jerks, kick their ass out. They don't deserve to be there. And beyond that, I would say make it a typical tournament. You know, make people pay for entry. Don't do this sort of prelim, semi, you know, finals garbage.
It annual or semi-annual. Well, exactly.
Look at the changes they're doing to Throne of Skulls. Throne of Skulls, as of next year, is going to be a you get in for taking first place at a tournament or you buy your ticket.
Well, this is what I don't understand. I mean, you look at the tournament pack for Throne of Skulls, and it's all like buddy-buddy, and it's, you know, like it's not hardcore at all. And this is what they run in the UK. This is their big tournament at the home of Warhammer. And then, you know, we here in North America, I don't know if GW just no, thinks
Country
that's...
Stan is? No, Country Stan Country... is close to North I
mean,
America.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
You're really bad at the code talk. you've broken code on three separate occasions so far.
I gotta tell you, I fucking hate
I'm gonna be bleeping the shit. Oh, yeah. Yeah,
we'll bleep anyway, the code we'll with all bleep. The cusses. They're
right.
Okay.
Yeah, they're all right. We'll put it in there. No big deal. Go ahead.
But Throne of Skulls, I mean, is compared to Ardboys... They're night and day. Mm-hmm. Our boys is just super hard competition. I mean, Jervis Johnson talked about Throne of Skulls, and it was just like, oh yeah, you know, you just go and hang out with your buddies and just sort of vote for that army that sort of sticks out to you. And, you know, it's like, I like the idea with the armies and the separation, but like the best painted or best, whatever it is, best in show, mm-hmm. Is you know, it's crazy. It's just sort of all over the place. And I think, you know, talking about Jervis Johnson, I mean, I don't think he knows about Ardboys. You know, all that guy wants to talk about is fucking painted miniatures and terrain and all that cool shit. I think when he comes to North America,
he loves the White Dwarf.
When he comes to
he's a DW employee. If he doesn't, true. They he flog love him. It.
Yeah,
for sure. But I think they, you know, when he comes over here to Country Stand, I think they hide the Ardboys posters. You know, I don't think he'd be down with that at all. I think he'd be pissed.
I think that kind of also brings up another interesting point, which is this idea of when did the tournament organization that we've all grown up with, and this is where I really am a jaded gamer, and I'm going to be the kids these days with their backwards turned hats and their baggy jeans, listening to their Snoopy Poopy Dog. But
get your own joke.
Yeah, there you go. Actually, I stole that one from an actual like senator who was on like.
That's awesome.
I think it was on Hannity or something. He was just saying that, like, just very out of touch. But okay, this is it, right? When did we get to the point when everyone kind of decided that this tournament organization and this tournament makeup of generalship composition, painting, and sportsmanship for best overall, best sport, best painted, best general was a terribly, terribly broken system that could not be salvaged? I mean, we're all going to sit there and say that, yes, most sportsmanship is very bad because it's objectionable and nobody's really enforcing it properly. And even when they try to enforce it properly, it's not very good. And, you know, composition, we've seen so many bad bits of composition where we feel like it's appropriate in some places, but it's not necessarily appropriate in others. Yep. And painting, where there's this dual argument between people who feel like it's unfair because I just don't have the natural dexterity and skill to paint these models to this level compared to the guy who paints these beautifully show quality, you know, Golden Demon winning stuff, right? And I don't understand how we got to a point where everyone was just like, generalship.
Well, you know, it's funny, though, because that is really an exclusively North American thing. Because, yes. I mean, our inaugural episode, we ragged on the ETC. But, I mean, these are guys that care so deeply about the game that they say, we're going to beat everything with a comp stick so that anything we perceive is overbalanced and can be taken to just be, you know, a douchebag. You can't do it. Right. You know, and so
completely subjectional.
Yeah, you know, like I said, I think they're missing the boat. But like I said, they care so deeply about not reproducing Ardboys that they're trying to homogenize the entire game and say, look, everyone should just play this army, you know, because we're going to ban anything that makes your army unique. But that way it's fair.
Yeah, the closer it is to Risk, the better.
Yeah, you know, so but I mean, like, that's something that you see in Europe, is you see this sort of, you know, love of soft scores as the big equalizer, whereas, you know, this North American, win at all costs kind of, you know, if it's not me beating your face in, it doesn't count kind of mentality is where they're abandoning soft scores en masse. Yeah, and that's
but
like,
I won
me,
every game with an unpainted proxy army and I was a douche the whole time. I should win.
No!
I don't understand. I don't understand where that comes from either, because, I mean, I listen to a lot of podcasts and a lot of the all the competitive, you know, podcasts that really talk about tournaments and doing better are based out of the UK. And a lot of the US podcasts are just sort of like, you know, we're building armies and yeah, we're kind of concerned about being competitive, but yeah, not really.
Right, but that's my exact point, is where did we lose that? Where did we lose that? Like, at what?
Yeah, I don't know.
Did we hit that fork in the road and everyone was just like, fuck it, generalship is the only measure? And I think that, you know, it's just douchebags at the top. It's the popped collars, well, it's the Jaeger bombs, yeah.
It's not Jervis Johnson.
No. And I'm not pointing any fingers at anybody. I just think it's the people who really do feel like winning is everything.
Well, you know, and again, to pull back from our archives, finger quotes, archives, you know, I think we can blame sites like Bell of Lost Souls and Yes, the Truth Hurts, because this is basically a very vocal minority that has such a huge readership and such market penetration that people don't realize how much they truly are the minority, and they just assume, well, if 10 million people a day are reading this site, then that's because everybody thinks this way, and therefore this is what we have to strive for.
It's the argument that it's broken as opposed to the argument of how can we fix it.
Mm-hmm.
It's the argument of it's broken as opposed to the argument of why it's important.
Yeah.
And that's always what we get caught up in. And like you say, it's that vocal minority.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Oh my God, did we all just agree on something? All right.
Holy shit.
What the hell is going on? No, you know, but so, I mean, like I said, for me, I go to Ardboys for my reasons. I know it does not appeal to anyone. Really, of all of my friends, I think, you know, I've got like one other guy that likes to go to Ardboys with me, and everyone else is just like, yeah, you can leave that shit at home.
Well, no, I mean,
but
like
even
I
would rather it be all painted, you know, I would love that, and I would love it to be smaller points, and I'd love it to be a more, you know, typical annual tournament like they're turning Throne of Skulls into, because I think if you do all of that, then my point of, you know, if this isn't your thing, stay the fuck at home and don't bitch about how it should appeal to you because you're a gamer. I play this game and it should be the event that I want and nothing else.
Right. And the dollars don't lie. Right. And I mean, it's the fact that, you know, like there's typically large quantities of people who show up for these things. You know, we can declare that it's, you know, oh, it's the fact that you don't have to paint, or oh, it's the fact that you don't have to care about sportsmanship or composition or any of these types of things, you know. And I mean, dollars
to me, I think it's the big prize.
The big prize and the dollars mean a lot, but Twilight also made a lot of money. Hey, I'm sorry. That's the way that I look at it. Like, it's anybody who comes around with the argument of just like, yeah, but look how much money it made, so it's got to be the right choice. Well, no, not necessarily, right? Like, there are people out there who have very different views, and I'm not saying that they're wrong. What I'm saying is it there's so much bad that goes into it, and we've said like, okay, they could fix it this way, they could fix it this way, they could fix it this way. They're never gonna fix this because it's their cash cow. They're never going to set a solid date because anytime they hit a slump, they can just go, hey, everybody, Ardboys, woo, go buy a new army.
Yeah, you know, that's that is a good point. But, yeah, you know, really, I can't add anything to it because, there's 100 ways we could fix it, but they never will.
All right, yeah. Mike,
I know how to fix it. I'm going to fucking write a letter to Jervis Johnson.
Rant the fuck out of it right now, Mike. You've got the podcast at the helm. Rant the fuck out of this thing.
Yeah, well, I mean, like I said, it's the fact that it's exclusive and it really ruins tournaments in the smaller cities. That really pisses me off, and that's why I wanted to come on the podcast and talk about it, especially for our region. And the fact that it fucks people that step up and want to, you know, do these tournaments, annual events, you know, I think GW's, they got to pick It's not that hard. You know, well, just pick one day of the year. This is, you know, fantasy. This is, you know, Lord of the Rings. Everybody's going to go to that one, you know, and 40K, you know, and
slash sarcasm. Okay. Why, Mike,
why can't you do that?
Here's the thing, Mike, the argument that's going to come right back at you for that point is Games Workshop is global. Not every community is a small community. They have to cater to their majority. Their majority is not small communities. So what do you have to say about that?
Well, I mean, that's fine. If Ard Boys is going to – if they decide to run it as an annual event so you're not screwing over people in those big cities like E-Town and Cowtown. Okay, see, I'm getting better.
Yeah,
then I'd be fine with it. That's all right. But, I mean, we have local tournament organizers or store owners that go, oh my God, you know – Games Workshop has this tournament, this Ard Boys thing. I have to run it. You know, it doesn't matter what's going on or what normally goes on or what my annual event is. I have to run this Ard Boys thing because it's GW official. And I think that just sucks. And I think people got to, like you said, Lang, I think people have to talk to their local stores. They have to talk to their local tournament organizers. I did say
that. That was very smart of me.
Yeah. Yeah, mofo.
It was Nathan. Nathan said it.
I think people got to get out there and talk to their tournament organizers and say, listen, this isn't for me, and I want, you know, I am a hobbyist.
Yeah, so. Well, you know, we've said it before, vote with your dollars, and if it's not for you, don't support it. But there are people who love it. There are people who that's what they're in the game for. There are people who that's what they need. That's their experience in the game. And I'm not going to say that they're wrong because that's what they enjoy at it. They enjoy the super competitive, no strings attached, no responsibility type side of gaming. And, hey, that might come off as being harsh, but as far as I'm concerned, that's just the way that it is, all right? If you've been in the game for 2 years and you don't have a painted army, you have a very, very different view on what is fun about this and what makes this game good than Nathan and myself.
I still think that a normal, you know, your normal run-of-the-mill annual events using Swiss pairings, a grudge match, you're going to end up running, you know, most of your games are going to be highly competitive if you're a competitive player.
Well, yeah.
I don't think you need to go to Ard Boys.
No, and I'm not saying – my comment was not meant to say that was an exclusive thing.
No.
Like I said, I'm very competitive. That's why I go to tournaments, right? But I want to go to a tournament where I'm competitive on four different things, sportsmanship, painting, composition, and generalship.
At the end of the day, the person that wins a tournament should be the best in overall. All. The best, the best overall.
What we should call that.
Oh my God, what a great idea.
Why have we not done
patented
that
before? Jaded Gamer Cast right there.
That's right.
No, but I mean...
episode name?
God, I don't know yet.
Well, I usually come up with that in a drunken state on the Sunday night.
That is true. No, but I mean, that's the point, is this isn't a video game. This isn't StarCraft. If you want to go play in the Star League and make hundreds of thousands of dollars, you know, practice your ass off, go play there. If you want to be a part of this hobby, because that's what it is, they don't sell, you know, this isn't Confrontation or not AK-42 or whatever the hell it is. that's War Machine. But when Confrontation came out with their pre-painted game where they're just like, people don't like painting models, so here, just buy our, you know, random pack shit. This is a hobby. You have to play, you know, you play against another person who's literally 4 feet away from you. If you cannot be nice to this person, if you cannot treat them with respect, get the fuck out. You don't deserve to play. You don't deserve to come to a hobby if you cannot be nice to a complete stranger for 2 hours. You know, if you can't be bothered to paint your stuff, get the fuck out. You know, there's the door, because at the end of the day, I took the time out of my very busy schedule, and Lang takes the time out of his even more busy schedule, because, I mean, you've got, what, twice the kids I do?
It's true.
You know, so
and twice the job.
It's only because I try not to work.
I'm
a consultant. It's what I do. You know, so it's just like, you know, I find the time to sit down and paint my army because that is a priority to me. If you can't be bothered to me, and I said this on our painting episode, that is a sign of disrespect. Get the fuck out. There's the door.
I think this is how 8th edition was promoted. You know, this is a hobby game, and if you want to go play, you know, go play chess if you want a really strict, you know, really rules strict game. I think, you know, that's how they GW is marketed, and which is, again, blows my mind. If that's what's coming from the UK, then why the hell are we playing Ardboys in our neck of the woods?
Dollar signs, man. It's all about dollar signs.
No, but well, then why aren't they playing Ardboys in the UK then?
Because they have different head offices. Yeah. GW North America is autonomous to GW UK. You know, so I mean, like that's...
Well, is autonomous another word for a bunch of fucking morons?
Oh, that was a fucker, Mark.
These guys don't talk, though, you know, like they'd say, you know, in our neck of the woods, they'd be saying, well, this is a good moneymaker. Why the hell don't you do it in the UK or, you know, all over Europe?
Yeah.
Well, I think the communities are very different, and the one in the UK is much, much more established, similar to the way it is in Australia. You know, it's a different community where it's more readily accepted. The community is much, much, much larger. There's a lot more people showing up to tournaments. There's a lot more events being organized and run. And there's a lot more interaction with their local stores, right? Whereas in North America, their mentality has been trim the fat, trim the fat, trim the fat. You know, if you're going to run intro games, everything's a 4+. Doesn't matter whether it's a 4+. It's a fucking 4+. You know, it's just like that's their mentality is make the money, get it done, sell it, sell it, sell it. And there's no let's build the hobby, let's build the community, let's teach people how to do it. They don't even finish painting lessons anymore. It's at the point now where they're just like, yeah, show them how to dry brush, show them how to ink, don't let them finish the model. That takes too long. That's the way that like this. That's the way that the North American GW has built the hobby. But okay, I'm gonna reel back a little bit here. We are not gods of the internet.
That was a good rant.
Well, it's what I do. We are not gods of the internet.
Lies. And
it's true, okay? Deal with it. We are not gods of the internet, and we do accept that there is a certain amount of pretension to the idea of us saying that it's a sign of disrespect that your stuff's not painted or it's this or that because, you know, we understand that there's always extreme circumstances or that's just not something you're into. I mean, there are people who play this game who just don't find the painting entertaining. They don't find it cathartic. They don't enjoy it. And they always feel like they're second-class citizens if they don't do it or if it's a poorly painted army, right?
But, I mean, North America is the only place worldwide that says it's okay for you to not bother.
That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is this, you know, there are two separate types of gamers, and we are going to be seen as the, like, oh, I've got a painted army. Look at you. You're so fucking fancy. fuck you. I've got 8 painted armies, you know.
But no, he wears a monocle.
And I wear a monocle, and I smoke Virginia Slims. But no. I mean, but it's not about that. And, like, okay, we accept that that's the way we're going to be viewed, but there are so many reasons behind it outside of just our own personal enjoyment, you know? Because I've seen the people who get into it. They play for a few years. They never paint their armies. They never get into anything other than tournaments where you don't have to play painted armies. And guess what? They don't last very long in the hobby. Because it's not a hobby for them. It's the new trading card game. It's their new MMO.
And then Diablo 3 came out.
Right, and then I just stopped playing Warhammer altogether. Or, you know, and I think that that's the thing. And it's not just about winning, because I've seen people come in, win a ton of games, and then just quit. Because they're just like, what's fun about this game? It's not about that. It's not about just winning games. It's not about just painting models. It's the idea that this is a hobby, this is a community, and without all of these things, we would have moved on years ago. We wouldn't be sitting here doing a podcast, drinking scotch in the studio.
And that you just summed it all up perfectly. That's why I'm pissed off that, you know, Ardboys is what it is.
Well, I think there's more than enough bad with it, and the fact that the ways to fix it are very clear, where you could just bring it up to a new level. Like, okay, if you say 3 colors minimum is the painting thing, how many people do you really think you're going to lose at these tournaments? When you can win a 3,000 point army, how many people do you really feel are you going to lose at this tournament?
Yeah.
3, 4?
Yeah.
Come on.
Nathan, you've probably attended the most Ardboys. Like, what's it look
soulless
like?
Is it just fuck. It is true.
Just all gray, is it?
I had a baby so I could eat it.
Yeah, but your sister's always painted.
It's true. What was your question, Mike? We kind of tangented you.
I was just looking at, I was just going to ask, you've been to probably the most Ardboys, so is it just a sea of gray?
Actually, no. In my preliminary round, out of my three games, there was one fully painted army, one guy couldn't even be bothered, and that was really the only game out of six that, you know, if I could have if I could have back, I'd take it in a moment, and if I ever saw the guy in need of aid on the side of the road, I'd just keep on driving because he's that big of an ass. You know, and then my last opponent was playing Tyranids, like myself, you know, and this was a couple months after the Codex came out. He had about a three-quarters painted army, but he was working through.
Yeah, that's a solid effort.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. I'm sure by now his army is done. You know, absolutely. But, you know, and then in the semifinals, my first game was fully painted, my second game was fully painted, and my third game was couldn't give a shit. So, I mean, it wasn't a sea of gray from my experience of my opponents. And
but when you step back,
just stepping back, walking around, I would say that less than 10% couldn't give a fuck. Yeah. With just straight primer, you know, or not even straight primer, couldn't even bother to primer, just plastic. And I would say about half to three quarters were half painted or more, simply because, again, it's so many fucking points that if I have my built, you know, 1850 tournament army, and now I'm being told I need another 650 points. It's, you know, it's a lot of guys depending on the army you play.
Yeah,
and then I would say that the full painted camp that I was a part of was definitely the, you know, there were more fully painted armies than completely unpainted armies, but it was still, you know, a small minority.
Right. But this is a time when unpainted armies, there was a time when unpainted armies was unheard of.
Yes.
I mean, and that's what I think you can attribute to the fact that there were as many fully painted or partially painted armies as there were out there, was the fact that, you know, 4 years ago, you couldn't go to a tournament that allowed unpainted stuff. Like, there were very few and far between. And the ones that allowed unpainted stuff were typically these smaller non-Games Workshop run tournaments, right? You never saw them in the store. You never saw them in tournaments. It was very, very rare. And in this period of time now, we've come to it where it's commonplace. And it's now created that segregation in terms of tournament goers, you know, where you can sit there and rail on Ardboys and bitch and complain about why it frustrates you and why you think it's a detriment to the community. And they're going to complain the exact same thing back at you in the exact opposite way, typically less smarter because we are better than them. But
but there's the title for this podcast. We are better than them. See, it's things like that, because I mean, you know, every now and then it's a line in the podcast, like the safe word is champion that broke you and Matt.
We are better than them. Parting thoughts, Mike. Parting thoughts.
Oh, I think you summed it up a while ago. You know, Ardboys is just not reflective of what is a hobby game. It's, you know, it's, and I really hope it does change.
We can hope and pray. It's like we hope and pray that they'll stop making Space Marine Codex.
Oh, that'll never happen.
Oh, God. Yeah. That's Jaded Gamercast for this bonus episode for Friday. My name is Lang.
I'm Nathan.
And this is Sweetie Man.
Yay! I'm the Joe Rogan of podcasts.
Oh.
Cheers.